Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app today.
Mr. Trump has magic about him.
This is the greatest country in the world. But we do have some really stupid people.
How can I describe our leaders better than the word stupid?
This guy has magic coming out his ears.
This is the most unethical sham.
So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Now, Mark Reardon.
I've never known a guy more talented at untangling politics so that anyone can understand.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
It's so damn hot. Milk was a bad choice.
I don't like it. I don't like it one bit, ladies and gentlemen. September, we should be cooling off. There is something, though. Is it just sort of the angle of the sun? I should ask Steve Templeton this. You have very hot temperatures and high dew points and humidity and, you know, triple-digit heat indices. But it doesn't feel as hot in the evening. I know the sun goes down a little bit earlier. That's partially part of it. But even when, you know, I look at the thermometer, maybe it's just me. Do you guys ever, Fred, do you ever look at the thermometer, especially this time of year, and it doesn't seem as hot as it would if you had the same readings in July, right? Is that just my No, they're kind of agreeing with me. Okay. Why the hell is that? I don't get that. Have Steve explain that to me at some point. Where do we start this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen? I should, of course, tell you that you can always follow on Twitter at Mark Reardon KMOX. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast at KMOX.com/Reardon. And you can listen live by downloading the radio.com app. John Bolton out. Was he fired or was he asked to resign? There was a little controversy about that. I've always liked John Bolton. He's been made out to be, by the left, the boogeyman. He's been a guest on this show many times going back a few years. Hasn't been on recently. He's pretty sharp guy. He's intense. I think he's perceived a bit as a bully. I'm not so sure that's a bad thing when you have someone in charge of national security. But now he's out. And Mike Pompeo, I guess the story is he was asked to resign last night. And this seemingly has to do with all this stuff about the Taliban coming in for peace talks. Here's Mike Pompeo at an event with the Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, this morning. This is an event that Michael, I just called him Michael. I knew that was going to happen. Darn it. Dave, we don't even have music ready for that, right? John Bolton was supposed to be there.
So last night, the president asked for Ambassador Bolton's resignation. As I understand it, it was received this morning.
Was it because of this disagreement?
I'll leave to the president to talk about the reasons he made the decision. But I would say this. The president's entitled to the staff that he wants at any moment. This is a staff person who works directly for the president of the United States, and he should have people that he trusts and values and whose efforts and judgments benefit him in delivering American foreign policy. It's what, as cabinet member, Secretary Mnuchin and I try and do each and every day, and when the president makes a decision like this, he's well within his rights to do so.
See, here's the deal. Pompeo's like sitting there thinking, I'm doing this pretty soon, too, because I'm running for the Senate in Kansas. That's at least the guess. So they asked him, the reporters, because, again, he was supposed to be there at the event, was a blindside. And the disagreement came. Bolton showed up for work this morning. The White House says that he was asked to resign last night. The letter was not delivered till this morning, so that's maybe one of the reasons. But he was certainly not at this event.
Were you two blindsided by what occurred today? That he's no longer with the administration? Was it news to you today? Because last night you were told he would be here today.
Yeah, I'm never surprised.
Well, let me ask you this.
And I don't mean that on just this issue.
Being honest there.
Mnuchin would say the same thing. We work very closely with the President of the United States. I think we have a pretty good understanding of how he's thinking about things. I think you'd agree, Stephen, at nearly all times. And so, you know, our mission sets not to talk about these inner workings and the palace intrigue that I know you are so curious about,
but rather
to talk about the things that matter to American foreign policy.
So the concern would be in what the gaggle of press wants to do is say, and you'll see this narrative, is that national security policy right now in this administration is a mess. I mean, maybe it is. I don't know that this indicates it. And Steve Mnuchin was asked that question.
Is this national security team a mess?
Absolutely not. That's the most ridiculous question I've ever heard of.
We've had three national security advisors in 3 years.
Let me just say, the national security team, which is what you asked, consists of the national security advisor, the Secretary of Defense, the Secretary of State, myself, the Chief of Staff, and many others.
Can you disagree with the President?
Of course.
All right, so there we go. That's Steve Mnuchin and Mike Pompeo from earlier today. I think it ties in. This is interesting, too. When the media does not get their narrative on some of these things, I wouldn't say that, and I'm not going to argue that Ambassador Bolton leaving is a good thing, because I do think that he was a competent guy, and I don't know where the disagreement came. One of the concerns I guess I would have, and this is something most of you who supported Trump in 2016 would have to confront next year, is the thing that I heard repeatedly during the campaign a few years ago and even in the early stages of this White House is, well, he's going to, you know, we have questions about Trump and his behavior, but he's going to hire the best people. If you look at the list of the best people, in fact, I think maybe John Bolton was one of the best people for that job, but certainly in the end, he could not see eye to eye with the president. But going back to the media narrative, this is interesting. This is Jim Mattis, who's written a book about his time in the White House. It's not really about Donald Trump. He was asked this question about NATO by Andrea Mitchell on MSNBC, and she wants to take him down a certain road when it comes to the strength of NATO currently.
In the last 2.5 years,
they've been
seen our alliances weakened in NATO, certainly in Asia and in Europe.
So, you know, basically, we don't have the respect that we've been given in the past, and NATO is weak because of this president. That's the assertion.
You know, Andrea, if you take a look at current events, you can always see the tensions, because that's what grabs your attention, is the tensions in those alliances. However, right now you see a NATO that, for, I think we're into the fifth straight year of the nations, almost all of them, increasing their defense budget. So I could say quantitatively, NATO's actually stronger today. Now, there are political tensions. Those tensions have always been there in NATO, where the American presidents, I remember all the way back to President Clinton when I became aware of this issue.
So, you know, he's going back to Clinton. You can certainly say it went back to Reagan in the 80s and George Herbert Walker Bush as well.
President Clinton, President Bush, President Obama, all saying the same thing President Trump is, you've got to pay more. The way I carried the message to NATO when I first went there as a Secretary of Defense was, I've sat in this room and you've heard this message before. But the American people are saying they will not care more about your children's future than you care. You've got to pay your fair share.
So she pivots, and she doesn't even know. There's an awkward pause at the end of that question. She doesn't even know how to answer, because he didn't really fill in the blank the way that she expected on MSNBC. All right, well, we have a lot to get to, and we're going to focus on crime in the city in St. Louis. There's a summit that's going to go on this afternoon at City Hall downtown with the mayor, Lyda Crewson, the new county executive, Sam Page, and the governor, Mike Parson, who kicked off his bid for a full year, four term in office on Sunday. He's in town today. Unfortunately, he's not going to be in the studio on the phone with us next, so we'll talk to the governor, Mike Parson. The mayor will join me this afternoon as well. Now, there's one thing that I would like to ask the mayor. I think maybe they know this at this point. That's about the tweet from Kim Gardner last week, which I still think is not getting enough attention. On that note, with crime prevention, former St. Louis County Police Chief Tim Fitch has created a bit of a stir. He's a county councilman. He's actually my county councilman right now. When it comes to a message that police in the city of St. Louis are getting maybe from the mayor, the chief says, look, if you want support and if you want better pay, go to Jeffco, because they're advertising right now. So that's all to come. The Cardinals are in Colorado tonight. John Rooney's in Denver. He'll check in at 4:20 this afternoon on KMOX. Governor Parson, coming up next.
Miss any part of the Mark Reardon Show? Download the podcast anytime.
Initiating download. Stand by.
At KMOX.com/Reardon.
The other things that is going on today is Apple is going to announce the new iPhone. We're going to have our go-to guy on technology from CNET, Ian Scheer, with us in the 3 p.m. hour at 3:30 this afternoon. The governor of the state of Missouri, Mike Parson, on the phone with me. He's in town. They're going to have a crime summit over at City Hall downtown in about an hour. In fact, the mayor is going to join me in a few minutes as well. Governor, welcome to KMOX. How are you?
Hey, doing great. How's everybody today?
I think we're doing okay. I want to get to the reelection and the announcement on Sunday in a moment. What's your anticipation and expectation, and what are your thoughts on the meeting that's been called with you and the mayor and Sam Page for this afternoon when it comes to crime here in the city of St. Louis?
I think really that meeting's all about trying to work together to find some solutions to curb this violent crime in the city. And we're going to be able to put some resources on the table the day we meet. But I think the big thing about this meeting is trying to find common grounds where the federal government, the state government, the city, and the county can all work together along with the communities and some of the other people. This has been going on for a long time. So this is not going to be a quick fix. Right now, we're just trying to curb the violence for right now. But long term, we've got to figure out, we've got to come to a solution how we're going to handle this situation.
Well, what state resources, and there's been some criticism about the special session. We can get into that as well. And why? Because it's, in many people's eyes, seen as a more important issue than the sales tax on rural cars, that this would be the focus of a special session. Now, I understand why you're not doing that, and I do get the reason for that rural car portion of the special session and why you'd want to fix that. But how would you respond to that? Because people here in the region, and this affects the whole state, as you know, are very concerned about children in particular being slaughtered on a daily basis on the streets of St. Louis.
Well, first of all, the two don't even compare, so I don't even want to try to make that comparison. The bottom line, the Supreme Court come down with the ruling that said we're violating the law if we don't fix the tax issue with used cars all over the state of Missouri. And that really is a fix for the everyday person, and the everyday person is the one that brought that issue into the Supreme Court. So we got to fix it. We either do that or violate the law, and I made an oath not to do that. Now, to go back to the situation where the legislators are right now, look, they're going to talk about gun violence when they're in special session, when they're in veto session. The bottom line is I don't believe they would get anything accomplished on that issue, nor do I think they're going to have the opportunity. They had the opportunity last year to address that issue, and I'm not sure who really did go out there and try to address that. But to kind of wait till now when they get a political hype out of it and a little media hype out of it, that's not going to help the situation here in St. Louis.
No, you're right.
Really do something.
The better plan would be, to your point, is to make sure, look, these are people who work. They're supposed to work year-round, even though they're not in session, and for folks to get to work on something that might be realistic, and I don't know what that would be. The problem is you're going to have different philosophies and then introduce it early in the next session.
That's exactly right. Or why didn't we do it last year? This stuff was going on, and then it's a little ingenuous when you go up there to veto session and hold a press conference when you could have did that months before. And, I think a lot of political posturing. This is not the time to do the political posturing. This is about trying to figure out what you can actually do to help with the violent crime in our urban areas. And that's exactly why I'm in St. Louis today.
So you mentioned some state resources. Are there resources? The Highway Patrol has been mentioned. I know they've been doing some stuff with some of the traffic offenses. The National Guard's been mentioned in the past. What would those resources include in your eyes?
Yeah, I think putting boots on the ground, resources, Highway Patrol in here, start to work with the federal and the city on task force targeted crime areas. I think that's one. I think the license plate readers, some of the things we can do on the shots fired, that we can try to locators on that. I think all of that are things that we can do. We can possibly come up with some funding to help till we get in these neighborhoods where we can probably help, try to figure out a way to curb that crime. Look, I was in law enforcement 22 years, so this is not a new deal for me when you're going up here trying to curb the crime. But I'm just telling you, no one entity can do this by themselves. We're going to all have to figure out how we work together and get something done. And again, that's what we're going to be talking about today.
I had someone on Twitter ask me this question for you. Could you ask the governor, how much longer will the corrections officers have to continue to work overtime? Several officers are having to work 60 to 65 hours a week. Safety of institutions are being jeopardized. Are you dialed into that issue and any response to that person's question?
Yeah, very much so. And I don't know the overtime side of it, how much of that's accurate. We shut a corrections facility down simply, one, to save money and to put more correction officers in those prisons to do their job. We knew they were understaffed. We knew they were underpaid. And we're trying to come up with solutions to that. And I think that was the main reason, one of the main reasons we shut that prison down and trying to be more efficient with the manpower that we have. But I'm aware of that. And we're trying to make sure that we take care of those people working in those institutions every day.
I personally don't know why anyone would want to be an elected official, but I give you credit for being a public servant. You decided, obviously, and you made the announcement on Sunday, Governor, that you're going to run for, we can't really call it re-election because you were appointed in this position after winning the lieutenant governor's spot, but you're going to go forward, not a shocker, and run for a full four-year term.
That's right, and I think, you know, my career of working in the Army, being in the Army, with that experience, serving my country, being a sheriff, serving my county back home, and then just the values I take to the table, those Christian values, moral values, and the love of this state and the love of this country are all important to me. But you said the key word a while ago, being governor of the state of Missouri is truly being a public servant, not doing what you think is best for everybody, but truly serving the public every day. And I've tried to do that since I became governor and tried to prove to everybody that day in and day out, I'm trying to do the best job I can for the people of the state. And I think Missouri's on the right track. I think we got it going in the right direction when you look at the way the economy's going, some of the cuts we're making in state government, some of the things that we are really doing that make a difference, finally, you know, are really starting to pay off for us now as we see 40,000 new jobs in the state of Missouri in the last year. You know, that's good times for our state.
You know, I'd really kind of like to see this campaign next year be more than just about abortion. I guess abortion is going to be a big part of it. It seemingly in politics always is. What would you like the campaign to be about?
You know, I want to talk about everyday people's lives. On the abortion issue, you have people that's for that and against that, and those numbers normally don't change. I want to talk about the everyday guy and woman out here that's trying to work for a living, trying to raise their families, make money for their kids, buy a house, buy a car. You know, I had to grow up with hard work all my entire career, and I want to make sure that those people are working hard, get to achieve the American dream like so many of us has got to do that. And I'm going to focus on that every day. On that, I get all the social issues, I get all the political hot button issues, but I'm talking about the everyday guy here just trying to make a living, trying to do better for his family. That's the people I'm going to focus on.
Would transportation issues then be rolled up into that? I would think it would.
Yeah, you know, when you start talking about the transportation, the infrastructure piece that we have, everybody wants to live in a good community. They want to live in a good district. They want to live in a good housing area. That's just part of the living up the American dream that I'm talking about. But you really got to do things to build up your infrastructure. We still have 10 schools in the state that doesn't have broadband capability. You can't expect those kids to compete in today's markets by not having that. And I think that's why the workforce development piece was so important to me this year, that we start preparing our kids in school, that they really understand what the workforce is out there. And not everybody has to go to college. We don't need four-year degrees for everybody. We need skilled workers, trade workers, people going to community colleges that can meet the workforce demand. And I'm just going to stay focused, again, on those things that make a difference in everybody's lives.
How's that sixth grandchild doing?
No, oh, man, it don't get any better than that when you get to hold somebody, the little baby and Sophie. I'm just so proud of that and proud of my family. And she right there is what drives me to go to work every day, to make sure she has the opportunity that everybody before her has had to really live the American dream. And she's what gives me the inspiration every day to go to work.
Governor, I know you have more work to do. I'll let you go. Thanks a lot. I look forward to seeing what comes out of the summit this afternoon at City Hall as well.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
226 at the Voice of St. Louis. Look, Mike Parson is who he is. He's kind of folksy. He's not flashy. He certainly is not Eric Greitens. You know, one of the reasons that I was, I'm making a lot of bad choices, right? When it comes to, and Eric was, I think people know this, right? Look, I work with The Mission Continues, and Eric was a friend of mine. He's still a friend of mine. But the reason that I was attracted to his campaign originally was because he campaigned as being a reformer. It wasn't going to be business as usual. I think that that was something certainly that Donald Trump tapped into. Eric Greitens did during that campaign as well. And if we're just being honest here, Mike Parson is very different. He doesn't want to shake things up too much. He is a loyal public servant. He's one of those, I guess we'd call him an establishment guy, right? Most people would say he's a bit of an establishment guy. I do hear people, both Republicans and Democrats, say, well, maybe that's exactly what we need. We need someone with that demeanor here in Missouri. I will say this, and I like Nicole Galloway, okay, just personally, so don't misinterpret this comment, but that has the potential next year to be a real boring race especially for a talk show host. Maybe people want it that way, but you don't have, both those people aren't very flattering. Nicole Galloway is extremely shy, almost difficult to coax anything out of unless I haven't seen a different side of her. So I don't think this is going to be quite the race for governor that we saw in 2016, certainly because we had that primary. And Mike Parson was going to run for governor. I can't remember if he announced that he was in there for a little while. I think he did, and then he dropped out. He decided to run for lieutenant governor. Wow, what a good decision in retrospect that was. We have the mayor of the city of St. Louis, Lida Crewson, coming up after the break on KMOX.
Get ready for the Cards and Rockies tonight. Ameren Total Access, 6:45. First pitch, 7:40.
The Road to October, sponsored by Show Me Opportunity and Show Me Institute on KMOX.
Okay, so we had a police shooting last week, and Cortez Shepherd was the suspect who was killed. After that, I think most of you know the story at this point, he had marijuana. He had more than marijuana. But Megan Green, who is a councilperson, tweeted, St. Louis City Circuit Attorney, that's Kim Gardner, says she won't prosecute marijuana possession under 100 grams. And she's right. This is and by the way, I'm okay with that, but this is different. This is the reason I propose BB 180, because our police need to be instructed to abide by these rules. This is a waste of police resources, she claims, having the cops in one of the highest crime areas of St. Louis, pulling a guy over at 12:50 with other drugs and a gun. He's a felon, long rap sheet, 7-year-old who's not his daughter, and he gets shot by police. And Megan Green thinks, you know what, you shouldn't be bothering that guy. Don't bother that dude, right? And the circuit attorney of the city of St. Louis, the person responsible for prosecuting criminals, tweets exactly. So I've been very curious about a response from city officials, including the mayor. Lida Crewson's with me this afternoon. Madam Mayor, how are you?
I'm great, Mark. How are you?
How is it possible that you have not responded to what Kim Gardner said? How is that possible?
Well, I don't think responding on Twitter is actually the way to have any sort of a dialogue about this thing.
Hold a news conference the next day and say this is ridiculous. And say I support my police officers. Because do you understand the message that you're sending to the cops?
You know, I have spoken with the cops. And, I think whether or not you do all of this dialogue on Twitter or whether you do it in the public, I frankly think that when you're the prosecuting attorney, you probably shouldn't be commenting, period, on anything that might be a pending case that comes before you. And, we ask our police officers to solve these crimes, to prevent these crimes, to be everywhere, to be therapists, to be psychiatrists, to be tough, to show compassion. And this was an individual who was stopped along the side of the street, as I understand it, and my knowledge is in the public domain. Those officers approached this car. Yes, there was marijuana in the car. If you have seen the pictures that were also taken, there was a gun in that car. There were other pills and things that looked like other drugs. Of course, that has not come. I don't have the lab report. We ask our police officers to both prevent and solve these crimes and intervene when it appears that there may be drug-related activity going on. We have to continue to do that. We absolutely have to support our police officers when they're doing what we've asked them to do, which is both prevent and solve crimes.
When you're silent about a tweet like that, now you say you don't want to do it on Twitter. That's fine. Let's not go back and forth on Twitter. Why don't you tell me and the people in St. Louis and the region today what you feel about Kim Gardner, the circuit attorney for the city of St. Louis, basically saying she's not going to prosecute criminals?
Well, what I think I already said at the beginning of this conversation is that I don't think it's appropriate for the circuit attorney or anyone who's involved in a proceeding to comment on that before the investigation is done, before the facts are known. Now, that happens to be my opinion. And so I think it, any more than you would want police officers out there commenting on it. I have only the information which you have that is in the public domain. I think we ought to let this play out. That's why we have police officers. That's why we have a circuit attorney. That's why we have courts and judges. And certainly we are asking our police officers to both prevent crimes and solve crimes. We have to let them do their jobs without commenting on every stop that they might make.
But this in this runs deeper, in my opinion, than just the case from last week. You have the shooting of the 7-year-old, which there's been no charges filed, at least in the city. Those had to go to the feds for an armored car robbery. I just think that you guys are going to meet here. The governor was just on. You met with him last week. You're going to sit down with Sam Page and the governor in the next hour. Talk about crime. The most important issue to not only this city, but the region. I just don't know how you can get a hold of crime in the city of St. Louis if you have a prosecutor who's not willing to prosecute criminals.
I hear what you're saying. This prosecutor was elected by the people in St. Louis. I don't have any determination over that at this point in time. My point is to support our police officers, to thank our police officers for going out there and doing a job that very few of us would be willing or able to do. They put their life on the line every single day for us. My sentiment here today is to say thank you to our police officers, to support our police officers. And for the things that I can't do anything about, I don't think it adds for me to blast people in public. I want to support these police officers. We, all of society's ills, we don't have enough mental health services. We don't have enough social services. But you know what? When society fails, often those failures end up in a 911 call. And who do you want to show up when you call 911? I sure hope the police officers show up, and they will, and they do it every single day, despite the criticism that they receive from really what is a small sector of the public. The vast majority of the people in the city of St. Louis join me in supporting our police officers. But I understand it is hard to take these this constant criticism from a few folks. And they don't deserve that. They deserve our thank you. They deserve our praise, and they deserve to do their jobs as they've been trained to do, particularly when most of us wouldn't do it.
But then, you sent a tweet out, going back to Twitter, on the anniversary of Mike Brown's death, saying today is a sobering day as we remember hashtag Michael Brown. He forced us to confront the intentional and systemic racial inequities that have persisted for generations. My response to that was, yeah, it's a sobering day because this is when the myth of hands up, don't shoot began and tore apart our entire region. That's valid right now and relevant because I think, I'm just going to share this with you, I think there's a perception, despite what you said in the past few minutes about support for police, that you don't have enough support for police.
Well, I think that when Mike Brown was killed, that was a sobering day for many reasons. For one thing, as you said, it certainly tore apart our region in many respects. And so that in and of itself is a very sobering day, and we are continuing to deal with that. It is one of the reasons, most likely, that we are having a difficult time recruiting police officers, not just here in St. Louis, but across the country, frankly, in St. Louis County as well. We are 128, I think, is the number of police officers short today. We are very actively recruiting for police officers. And, of course, we want all of our police force to be extremely professional. As you know, in this region, we have a very fragmented police force. We have 55 police departments. They don't all have the same training. They aren't all as good, quite frankly, as the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. Nevertheless, We need these police officers, and we need more police officers in the city of St. Louis. We need to be able to pay them more competitively. We need to lift the residency requirement. You know, I've been
beating that drum. I think that's important, right?
We've been beating that drum for a long time. And let me say this: it's not the cure-all, lifting residency. It's one of the impediments, though, to hiring police officers.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that.
Let's lift that impediment. There are a lot of great neighborhoods in this city. We don't have to force people to live in this city. People are choosing every day. Both young people, middle-aged people, and older folks are choosing every day to live in the city of St. Louis. We don't have to force people to live here, and it's an impediment to hiring, and we ought to lift it.
So what are your hopes going into what's going to happen next hour? I mentioned you sat down with the governor, so you're going to sit down with Sam Page, the county executive, the governor. For the realistic hopes for actual solutions, I'm not expecting a miracle today, but what are you hoping for?
Well, I'm certainly hoping that the governor will put the highway patrol back on our highways. We are taxpayers here, in the city of St. Louis, just like all the other 140 counties that are in Missouri. And I think it can be very helpful to our police department to have highway patrol, particularly on our highways, highways 70, 55, 44, and 40, or 64, as we call it now. So certainly there, I'd also like to see highway patrol on some of the state-owned roads, Natural Bridge, for example, which we know has a lot of issues with regard to speeding, and there have been a number of deaths, pedestrian deaths on Natural Bridge. So I'd like to have the help from the highway patrol. We had that two summers ago for a few months. I'd like to have it year-round. I think it helps our police department and supports them and provides additional resources for them. So that's certainly I'm looking for that to come out of this afternoon's meeting. You know, I'd also really like to have the governor's help on some dollars for social service, for alternative violence prevention, and other ways in which we can support our community, but at the same time, we have to be willing to arrest folks, we have to be willing to prosecute folks, and we have to be willing to do that in order to have a safer community.
All right, Mayor Lyda Crewson, I appreciate you coming on here this afternoon. I know it's a busy day.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Take care. 246. Not so sure she appreciates it. I just think, look, they have to all play their political games, and that's an elected official and all that nonsense. I don't care. I don't think people care anymore, you know, in the city. Why would you care if you're a cop? I don't think this is what I was trying to impress upon the mayor, and I don't think she gets how difficult it is for the men and women of law enforcement dealing with what they have to deal with on a regular basis. You ever watch that stupid show, Live PD? It's kind of addicting. Look at the ridiculous behavior of people in Greene County, Missouri, and all across the country. This is what cops deal with every single day. And what's funny about, Dave, you watch that show? You ever see Live PD? What's funny about it is, not so funny about it, is that when they pull people over on Live PD, and this is what happens with police officers here in St. Louis and elsewhere, I mean, you could have a stash of meth or coke or whatever you have in your car, and they ask you, you know, this is your chance to come clean. Oh, no, I don't got anything. They lie through their teeth repeatedly. The cops know that they're lying. They just have to prove it, and it takes a while. So, yeah, there's a level of distrust that the police have of criminals because they lie so much. And when you roll up on a guy at 12:50 in the morning— look, if you're the mayor of the city of St. Louis and the number one issue facing this region is crime, murders, the slaughtering of children over a three-month period in your city, you say something when the circuit attorney retweets some stupid tweet from a communist alderperson about marijuana laws. And you say, exactly, well, I don't want to do it on Twitter. Well, then don't do it on Twitter. Hold a news conference. Say, I support my officers. The problem is she doesn't support the officers enough. Go to the Twitter feed. Want to point to the Twitter feed? There's all these things out there when there's things wrong with the cops. We got to do this. We got to worry about social justice and all these things. We got to put the gay pride parade up on the, or the gay pride flag on City Hall. These are all important things. Kids being killed, not so important on Twitter. We don't want to do that on Twitter. Okay? Hold a news conference. Call me. Call the rest of the media. Say, we're not going to stand for this. She's an elected official. Who cares? Say something. Lead.
Get home fast and informed. Total Information PM starts weekdays at 4 on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX, and KMOX.com.
Uh-oh, jumped on that. Sorry about that. Played the music a little too early. I had this amazingly awesome conversation with my producer through the glass. I have this little button where Dave and I can talk to one another. And I'm just, you know, going on something here. And all of a sudden, I pop my head over the computer screen, and he's not in there. It was a great, he had to go potty. He had a little potty break. It happens. Now he's embarrassed that I told people that he had to go potty. We have to do these things. What do you think happens at the top of the hour for me? I take a break. So somebody who is an insider, a St. Louis City political insider, who the hell is not a political insider? They all get paid for it too, which is great. I got to be a political insider, just get paid for running campaigns and losing campaigns like Hancock and Kelly. What a sweet gig. They don't even got to win, right? They lose. They just come on the radio. They get paid for that. I'm just teasing. I love those guys. It wasn't one of them who texted me, but somebody said this after my encounter with the mayor. God almighty, you put it up on a tee for her. Just blast Kim and call it how it is. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you are astute and you pay attention to politics and you know exactly why, despite me teeing it up for the mayor. It's the common sense thing to do. It's outrageous what Kim Gardner tweeted. Her behavior throughout her entire term is really outrageous. She should be disbarred because of her activities during the Eric Greitens affair. But the mayor won't do that because she is chicken poop. We'll just say that. Didn't Wobby get... I had to dump him on the roundtable because he said the word in a different context. They're chicken poop because she is worried about offending African-American voters. She needs them to win the election when she runs for re-election. She doesn't want to get anybody upset, not African-American voters in particular, not Kim Gardner's constituents, the people that put her in office who I guess they're happy with it right now, even though crime is not the focus. There comes a time, Mayor Crewson, when you're the mayor and you have to put that aside. You have to put re-election aside. You have to put feelings aside. You have to lead. I don't think she's led on crime. I think that if you would go out and talk to, I've talked to police officers. They don't feel like she's got their back. No way. Not based on the things that she said publicly, either during the campaign, since she's been in office, or on Twitter. So why would you want to go to work in the city of St. Louis? I don't know. So then you have Team Fitch, not Team Fitch. What's that, Dave? Did you say something? Oh, that's right. He was telling me that he was trying to tell me my touchscreen doesn't work because I got to hit something here like this music. Here we go. Now I forgot what I was going to say. I completely lost my train of thought on Tim Fitch. Ah, there. Thank you, Dave. Tim Fitch. So Tim Fitch, who is the former county police chief, put a tweet out that's somewhat controversial because the sheriff of Jeffco says, look, we have job openings right now. We'd love to talk with you. You get your own car. You get to drive it home. Fitch says, yeah, you're in the city of St. Louis. Take a look at this because you ain't getting the support in your city. Look elsewhere. He'll join me 3:20 this afternoon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.